Welcome back to Talking Baseball, Bill Lasky. And my guest today is Maria Gordado. She is the journalist for MLB.com. She's the feature writer for the San Francisco Giants. You can also follow her on Twitter at MI_GUARDADO if you're interested. And she does a lot of good stuff. I read her every day, and I really appreciate her work. And the first thing I want to do, Maria, is congratulate you as being a female journalist. Of course, the month of March is Women's History Month, and some of the greatest people you work with have been in sports and not just baseball for many years. My first thought to you is, what inspired you to be a journalist?
Yeah, so, you know, I think for me, the love for sports actually kind of came first. I got really into baseball when I was like around, 11 or 12 years old. I actually grew up an A's fan, funnily enough. I became so kind of fascinated by the sport and, obviously took to reading newspapers and trying to get my hands on like all the baseball content I could to kind of learn more about the team, more about the sport. At that point I also, was really into writing. So, it just kind of made sense in my head to kind of just combine those two things. So that's what ultimately led me into sports journalism.
Was there a female journalist back then that really caught your eye that you wanted to read her articles all the time, or something that she brought up in sports that you said, wow, that's a good point?
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. Like, I feel like in the Bay Area, there's always been like a pretty strong, presence in terms of female sports journalists. When I was an A's fan, I really loved reading Jane Lee, who later became my colleague here at MLB.com. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously Susan Slusser. I mean, she's another one who's been around. And it's been a pleasure having her now on the Giants beat. So, I think I was fortunate to kind of be able to see that there were women covering baseball. And, that definitely helped me kind of see a path for myself into this industry.
Well, I'm so glad you've jumped into it. You're very good at your craft, and so many young women read your articles on MLB.com. And if they don't, start doing it. She's fantastic. And I want to jump into spring training. We haven't talked so far, spring training happening. And one of the first questions I wanted to ask you was the age of the veterans. So many older guys now on this team, over 30 years old, and the mixture of all this young upcoming talent. Tell me your thoughts on both sides.
Yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic. It's possible that the Giants, could end up, having a starting lineup where all the starting position players are over the age of 30, which is like kind of remarkable when you think about it, because, the perception is that, this is obviously a rebuilding team. So it is interesting to see that they still have all these, all these veterans in their 30s. But, I think it's, when Farhan Zaidi kind of came in, he didn't do a full teardown. He didn't trade away Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, Brandon Belt, Evan Longoria, those guys are still around. And I think the most interesting thing was that, last year we really saw that they could still be really valuable contributors to this team. I think you saw that in just the way that they were able to carry the offense, which was a lot better than it had been in recent years. And I think that just kind of showed the value of, this whole, emphasis on player development, even at the major league level. I think that the new coaching staff that came in was kind of really able to bring a fresh perspective and maybe kind of help get the most out of these players, even as they're kind of entering maybe the later stages of their career. So it is interesting to see that the fact that this team is going to be probably one of the oldest in the majors. And at the same time, you kind of have this whole youth movement, as you kind of mentioned, with a lot of the young prospects who are coming up. When you see 19-year-old Marco Luciano and, 21-year-old Elliot Ramos, you get really excited about the future and what's still to come. It's been fun seeing the current team, but also obviously getting this kind of glimpse at what seems to be a really promising future in spring training.
And I tell you what, Maria, a lot of fans love that youth. They want to see those guys come up right now and play, and they're just not ready yet. You look at the spectrum of last year not really playing a full year. Most of these guys, never even played last year, some of the minor leaguers, and yet some of them were in Sacramento and just doing scrimmages. So they have to get in tune. So when you look at some of these younger guys, do you think most of these guys, like a Ramos, a Luciano, you start going right down a Metcalf, McCarthy. I mean, we could go line with a lot of these guys. Do you think some of these will stay in Sacramento? Your thoughts? Or do you think they'll go to Richmond?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, in talking to Farhan Zaidi before the start of spring training, he kind of said that, you know, their general philosophy is going to be to kind of be pretty conservative in where they place their prospects. But then, you know, if they show that they're kind of, you know, if they show mastery of a level, they're not going to hesitate to promote them. So, you know, for example, Elliot Ramos, you know, he's looked really good this spring. He already has like 3 home runs. You know, he finished the 2019 season at AA Richmond. So my guess is that, you know, he'll start the season there. But, you know, if he's crushing it, if he shows that he really has nothing left to prove there, I don't think that the Giants will hesitate to move him up to AAA. So I think that that's just going to be how they're going to kind of operate. You know, obviously, you know, some of these higher, you know, the most highly regarded prospects in the system did get a lot more reps just being from, you know, being in the alternate site in Sacramento. But a lot of them didn't. Someone like Sean Gelly was kind of left to work out on his own at home. So I think that they're definitely going to be, they're not going to rush them, at least not in the beginning. I think they're going to give them a little time to kind of settle in and get their reps before trying to kind of move them a little bit too aggressively.
And I tell you what happened, and you know it as well as I do, they pushed back to AAA season for a month, so most of these guys will go to Sacramento in kind of like a summer league to stay in tune for a month, because that's going to be not until the end of April, beginning of May, so you're going to have a big handful of stars in Sacramento, and like I'm calling it a summer camp, it's extended spring training is what it is. Do you see a lot of the things gelling there? I mean, there's going to be a ton of talent down there. They're going to have to play inner squads. They're going to have to do some things to keep these guys on point.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, I think that it's still a little unclear as to how, you know, because there is going to be this gap between, you know, when spring training ends and then, you know, when you know, minor league camp and everything gets going. So, yeah, it is going to be interesting to see how they kind of handle that. And what they're able to do for those young players. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely going to be helpful for them, because I think that they are going to do some sort of, you know, alternate site, at least for that first month. So I think it's going to be good for some of those younger prospects to continue to see kind of advanced competition and all that. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be exciting times. You know, I don't know if fans are going to be allowed in, but if they are, I think that it will be a really cool collection of talent for sure.
We're speaking to Maria Gordado on Talking Baseball this morning, and you wrote a great piece about the duo that could be at the top of the batting order, Tommy La Stella and Mike Yastrzemski, two valuable pieces against right-handed pitchers for sure. In your article, you were saying some of the things that these guys just love to watch pitches. They grind at bats. Why do you think it's so important for your leadoff hitter and your two-hitter to see more pitches?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it kind of sets the tone for the entire offense, right? You know, I think that the more pitches that they're able to see, it helps the guy on deck circle, you know, it increases the chance of a pitcher making a mistake. So I think that, you know, a lot of the guys that are going to be hitting in that heart of the lineup have already said that they're pretty excited to see, you know, that 1-2 punch kind of settle in, and be able to go to work against those pitchers. So, yeah, I mean, I think I have pretty high hopes for the offense. I think that it's a pretty talented group of hitters, and I think that it only got even better with the addition of La Stella, who I think is going to be an interesting guy to watch going forward. So, yeah, I mean, everyone seems to be pretty excited about how they're, you know, what they're going to be able to do at the top of the lineup.
You know, the Major League Baseball came out and they want to use some different ideas in the minor leagues. Larger bases is one of the things that is going to happen in AAA. And what's happening, I'm seeing a lot more this spring than normal, is the Giants are stealing bases. I think it's over 15 stolen bases they have coming in through Friday, maybe 16, 17. I really don't remember exactly. But when you got larger bases, that's what usually happens. You get another inch, you get another half inch, things are closer. Even running down the first base line, it's a possibility. The bang-bang plays, running from first to third. These extra bases, they're not that big. They're 15 inches now. They're going to 18 inches. Do you see any difference with that?
Potentially, you know, it is interesting that the Giants have kind of put more of an emphasis on stealing bases this spring. It's definitely been noticeable. Even guys like Joey Bart have been taking off when they've gotten a chance. And, you know, he's obviously not someone who's like a burner by any means. So, it is interesting. You know, I know that they were piloting the slightly larger base at the Atlantic League, I believe, a couple of years ago. And I'm not sure what the ultimate results were. But, you know, I would be in favor of you know, something that would kind of help maybe bring back that speed element into the game a little bit more. You know, I think baseball is more fun when you kind of have a little bit more. These guys are athletes, right? And you want to see them show off that athleticism. And I think that, you know, obviously kind of having a more of an emphasis on the running game is one way to do that. So I think that the Giants think that, you know, someone like Austin Slater and Steven Duggar, you know, definitely have that, the speed to kind of be, that they can really exploit on the base paths. So, you know, I personally am a fan of them running a little bit more this spring.
Yeah, me too. I think you get the defense on their toes. The pitchers are starting a little worry about that. And I like a moving game, and I agree right with you. I think the Giants can do that, and I think that will enable them to get more people in scoring positions. That's what they need to do. They need to get some runs scored, and they need to do it in a fashionable manner. One of the things that's happening right now in the starting rotation, of course, is Logan Webb. Logan Webb has just been looking outstanding in two of his starts and really throwing the ball well, mixing in the changeup. Your thoughts on him breaking camp in that rotation?
So, you know, Logan Webb was obviously, you know, in the rotation for all of last season. You know, right now I think he's a little bit maybe on the outside looking in just because, you know, the Giants seem to have five veteran starters kind of ahead of him. And, you know, Kevin Gausman, Johnny Cueto, Anthony DeSclafani, Alex Wood, and Aaron Sanchez. But, you know, we haven't seen Aaron Sanchez in Cactus League action yet to this point. I think the Giants said that they're kind of ramping him up slowly. I think he's slated to throw a three-inning simulated game this weekend. So, you know, obviously if there's some sort of injury or if they kind of determine that, you know, Sanchez isn't ready, you know, he's coming off shoulder surgery. You know, I think that there could be a chance that Webb opens the season in the rotation. But yeah, I mean, he's still obviously really young. I think he's only 24. So I think that, you know, the Giants still believe that there's they still want to see him take some steps forward. And one of the things that they're really emphasizing with him this spring is, you know, his ability to locate his off-speed pitches for strikes. And, you know, they really think that changeup can be a pretty big weapon for him moving forward. So I think that he said that, you know, he's really focused on improving that pitch and just feeling more confident with it. And I think that, you know, that started to show up in some of his outings this spring. So I think that, you know, they're obviously pretty high on him, and I think he's going to be a big piece of this rotation moving forward. So, you know, even if he doesn't end up being on the opening day roster, he's obviously going to be a big part of that rotation mix because, I mean, they're going to need a lot of arms to get it through this 162-game season. So, you know, we're going to be seeing a lot of Logan Webb, even if he isn't on the opening day roster for sure.
Well, the Giants have played just a little over a dozen games so far in spring training. Give me a name that's caught your eye, somebody who went, wow, he's really having a good spring so far.
I'm going to mention Sam Long, who is he's in camp as a non-roster invitee, but he's really turning some heads. I mean, he's a guy who used to be in the Rays organization, and then he was released, and then he kind of was just kind of determined to give up baseball at that point. You know, he said he came back home to Sacramento and he was kind of looking into taking EMT classes and kind of, you know, thinking about other careers. But then, you know, he kind of decided he wanted to give it one last shot. So he started working out really hard and then ended up, I think he had like a couple of bullpen sessions kind of go viral with the help of Pitching Ninja on Twitter. And then he ended up catching the attention of the White Sox, who signed into a minor league deal, and he ended up getting, I think, one season in that organization before the pandemic hit. But, you know, then once he became a free agent again, I think the Giants were pretty aggressive in pursuing him. And, yeah, I mean, he's looked really impressive this spring. I mean, he's up to 97 from the left side. His curveball is nasty. I think you saw that when he pitched in Goodyear Ballpark last week, where he struck out Nicky Delmonico on three pitches with the bases loaded. It was really eye-opening. You know, he kind of got nicked in his most recent appearance, but I think that he really seems to be kind of like this hidden gem that the Giants picked up. So, you know, he's being stretched out he's being stretched out this spring. So, you know, he could definitely end up being part of that rotation mix at some point this year, and he's someone who just kind of seemed to come out of nowhere. So I think he's been one of the best stories of the spring. And, you know, I think it's also worth noting Jason Vossler has looked really good at the plate. You know, he's someone who got signed to a major league contract back in November. He came over from the Padres organization, and he just seems to check a lot of the boxes that the Giants seem to prioritize. You know, he's a left-handed hitting infielder who can play multiple positions. You know, he has a history of getting on base. He's really versatile. So I think that he's someone who could also see time at the big league level and kind of emerge as one of these kind of a sneaky good pickups for that Farhan Zaidi has somehow discovered. So those are two names that have stuck out to me so far.
Great insight once again, Maria. I really do appreciate your time today on a Saturday morning. And it's always a pleasure talking to you. Looking forward to talking to you throughout the season. And again, you can read Maria Gordado's work on MLB.com as she is the feature writer, the journalist that writes for the San Francisco Giants. Once again, thanks, Maria. You have a great spring, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks, Phil.
That was Maria Gordado on KNBR 680 AM 104.5 FM, and we'll be right back with Talkin' Baseball.